Thank you, Josiah. May those words resound in your hearts throughout this holiday season. The Old Testament scriptures, the prophets spoke of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was a period of time. We call that the intertestament period, after the last of the prophets and the Old Testament spoke. There was a period of 400 years, and there was a silence where the Lord did not speak through the prophets. And then the time was at hand. Then came the angelic announcements of the one to Zechariah, whose son John would become a preacher of righteousness and come to prepare the way for Christ. And then there was the angelic announcement to Mary, who will in her womb carry the infant Christ, and to Joseph, who will have the privilege of raising the only sinless the earth has ever known, to the shepherds who have cared for the lambs that would be slain until the perfect lamb would come, the angels came and announced. But now is the time, comes the time for the incarnation of Christ. This thing that God has done is an amazing thing. We look in the manger. And we're going to do that from these verses in John this morning. Matthew and Luke give us accounts that deal with the various things that took place there with the shepherds and with the wise men and with Mary and Joseph and the birth. John takes us and has us look at it from the big picture of really who is this babe that's in the manger. Josiah has just sung to us of he was one who was born. He was born to die. For that purpose, he came to die. John helps us to see the person to whom we are celebrating. And we'll look at in John the incarnate Christ this morning. He approaches it from the person, and when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," we are amazed when we begin to recognize that this babe that was in the manger, that when it says, "In the beginning, he was." In the beginning was the Word. The Word is there capitalized, you'll notice, and that's for good reason. It's capitalized because it's speaking, when it says in the beginning was the Word, it's speaking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that, and particularly when we go to the 14th verse where it's very specifically there, identifies that we're talking about Christ, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word here, and when it's used that, it's the word logos. It's the it's not just a mere name, that such as we would name one of our children, but it's a word that describes the embodiment of his person, of all that he is in his entirety. It says that in the beginning, in Revelation 19:13, it says, "His name shall be called the Word of God." His name shall be called the Word of God. And that's what John is speaking about, that in the beginning was the Word. That means that before the beginning, he was there. We recognize that beginning refers to time as we know it. Beginning here, such as in Genesis 1:1, it says, when it says, "In the beginning, God created." It's talking about the beginning of time as we know it. You see, God created in the beginning. He existed pre-existed. He was existing before that. But in the beginning, God created. And here in John 1:1, it starts the same way. In the beginning was the Word. That means Jesus was before the beginning. This is placing the Lord Jesus Christ back before creation. When it says in the beginning was the Word, as it said that, it says was the Word. It denotes there, when it says in the beginning was the Word, it denotes that he was before time. That's why when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, he said, I am." They were saying, "Are you saying that you're talking like you were, you're better than Abraham?" And before Abraham, he says, "Before Abraham was, he says, I am." And when he used that word, "I am," it's just a word that denotes I am the existing one. I exist, and it is before time. He was before Abraham. We're talking about the babe that was in the manger before Abraham, back and before time began. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." So as we look this morning, and we are here to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we look into that manger this morning and we see an infant, a newborn. The Margraffs just reported that we heard that Ron and Becky are new grandparents. A newborn. But here, a newborn and yet an ancient one. A newborn and yet an ancient one. Yes, even here, an eternally ancient one. So as we see the babe in the manger, we want to recognize that we're looking beyond and we're seeing something, even as John is revealing to us, in the beginning was the Word. And then it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see that Christ is God in his very essence, in his very being. When it says with God, that's not just, well, he was there alongside of God. We have here a word, this with, that which was inseparable, that which was a part. One commentator made this, it says, you know, he was another and yet not another. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, he was with God, and the next statement goes on to help us to understand, and he was God. That's why we would say he's inseparable. It explains why the Word of God, he was the very embodiment of God. There we speak of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We speak of the deity, that he is God come in the flesh. You know, this is denied by, I would say, my notes, some. It is being denied by many. It is denied because they cannot comprehend it. I have spoken to ones that have denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they because you can't explain it to them, because you can't it just doesn't fit their logic. But you know, our lack of comprehending something doesn't negate the truth of it. Amen. We have to be careful that we don't cast something aside just because we can't wrap our minds around it. We just have to take the Bible for what it says, and this is something that we see throughout the New Testament scriptures. But here, as John is beginning the gospel, and here we have the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all of the life of Christ. But John is taking us, and he starts right, wants us to understand that Jesus Christ is the very God. And certainly here, Jesus himself clearly states it. I think of in John chapter 8, verse 42, where Jesus said, And this was to those that claimed that God was their father, but they were rejecting him. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I have proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself." He says, I have come forth from God. And so he says, if you say you love the Father, you would love me. And then he goes on in John 10, he says, "I and the Father are one." He very clearly lets them know that there's not a separation here. There are those that have a concept of the Father being this very stern, angry God, and then we have Jesus, who is of love and has come, and that is so far from the truth. We have there is no dichotomy in them. "I and the Father are one," he said, and then when Philip said to him in John 14, Philip said to him, "Show us the Father." And what did he say? He said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." He was here to reveal to us the person of God. And then, you know, there are those that seek continually to teach that the Lord Jesus and they would say, well, he was the first of the creation, and then he did other things. But I often wonder how they get around Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, when it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor," and then "the Mighty God," "the Everlasting Father," amazing, "the Prince of Peace." There in that prophetic passage back in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, very clearly declaring, this son that is given is the Mighty God, that he is the Everlasting Father. Glory. So as we look, and we're here celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that this babe in the manger is the eternal God. This is the Son of God. Son, not because he is born, and that, you know, people really get hung up on this idea of son, because, well, you know, I mentioned Ron being a new grandfather. He had a son, and his son is different than he is, you know, and so, but as I mentioned, and I used the verse where the Lord said, "I proceeded forth from," he is son in the sense that he's proceeded, that he's come out from God, not that he has had a beginning after the Father. That's And so we need to understand that. And thus, in his very essence, we recognize that he is God himself. So, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Profound two verses in Scripture. A couple verses in Scripture that we, you know, we, and I've taken just a little bit of time to walk you through that, but the idea and the concept and what we're being told of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that I use the term boggles the mind. I mean, we just can't quite wrap our mind wholly around it, but to recognize that it's true. So that when we see and we're celebrating the birth of Christ, we're recognizing his deity. We're recognizing that he is God. And then when we come to verses 3, down through the first part of verse 4, and we see here, and on in verse 4, we see that then, as we're looking at Christ, who is the Word, that we see his work. We see his work as creator. When he says, all things were made by him. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So there he's revealing to us that we have the creator. We have the one that, when we're speaking of God, we're speaking of one, and we think of God as our creator, and we need to recognize that. And so sad in this day that so many are even rejecting the fact of having a creator. We have come so far in our country in these years, and it's just where the whole idea of creation, of a creator, is being thrown out. How sad. We can speak of that a little more as we go along, but recognizing that everything was made by him. There's nothing that is made that was not made by him. Nothing exists that he didn't create. We have a verse that describes that in the book of Colossians, when it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So he's not only just a creator that started something in the past, but all things consist, they're held together by him today. We see him as the creator. Our Lord and our Savior, yes, the one that we are celebrating his birth here on earth, is one who has existed in eternity past as the Almighty God. And it's one that all of creation is by him. There's nothing that exists that he has not made. There's nothing that is being held in place today that is not of him. As Colossians says, as Paul in Colossians says, by him all things consist today. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is in him. He's the author of life. And being creator, he's the author of life. Without him, there would be no life. Our physical life he has given to us, and again, we recognize that in creation, that if it were not for him, we would not have life today. we would not be here today the whole account of our creation and how we came to be, all of that would not be were it not for him. But our spiritual life he gives. You know, one of the reasons that it's so important that people understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this one that came to die was not just another man with a particular purpose to die, but to recognize his deity, to recognize that our life, our physical life is of him, and then to recognize our spiritual life has to be of him. And that's the basic verse that many learn as a child: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How can we have everlasting life? Everlasting. It is given by the ever eternal one. It is given to us by the eternal one. In John 10, 27 and 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the giver of life. So this babe in the manger, this one of new life, is the one who gives life. From him proceeds life. Your physical life came from him, and your eternal life, if you have eternal life today, it is because it has come from him as well. We recognize all men do not have eternal life. There will be an eternal existence in the sense of there is that eternal damnation, there is that eternal judgment, but that is called eternal life is life with God, life in him, and he came, yes, he came to die. He came for the purpose that of paying for our sins, that he then can offer to us eternal life. And that's where the passage goes on, and we see that part of his work, yes, it was to give life as creator and eternal life. But it says he was the light. He was the light of men. His life is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The only real light that we have is in Jesus Christ. He's that light that it says it shines in darkness. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that it is getting worse and worse. There's a darkness that is around us because of the wickedness. Men are rejecting the very creator that created them. They are rejecting the eternal one. And that's what these verses are getting into, that the rejection, that how man has rejected the Lord. We see it. We see it on the news almost every day now, of some other example of where they want nothing to do with the name of the Lord Jesus. They don't want someone to pray in public. Excuse me. They don't want ones to pray in public of in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is what he's coming into in this passage, that there's a great darkness. And the darkness, it says, the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus came here. He came bringing light to men. And men rejected it. They could not comprehend it. You see, sin blinds your heart. Sin blinds out the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that's why it mentions here as it goes on. It talks about John the Baptist in verse 6. He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to prepare the way, as remember, John the Baptist was born just 6 months before the Lord Jesus. And so as he began his ministry of preaching and declaring and calling men to repentance, that they might recognize their sin, that they might not be blinded with their sin, but they might be open to the light that would come from the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was light. John the Baptist came to declare that light. You see, the very source of light itself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The very source of light itself is the only source of light for your soul today. The only source of light for your soul today. We live in a world that's blinded, a world that is going its own way, and it seems like all the solutions that we come up to are foolishness, leads to more wickedness. It seems like every week there's another shooting in a school. There's another someone else that's. It's just becoming so much more rampant. Wickedness has always been there. Wickedness has been there from the beginning. But we're told in the last days, it'll be like before the Lord comes again, it'll be like the days of Noah. When men's heart became evil continually. There was just such an increasing of wickedness and sin in his day. And we see that happening in our own. Are you rejecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? That one that we are celebrating today is the one who came to bring light to your soul. What about his acceptance? What about his acceptance? When we read here, it says he was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. The one who is our creator, our whole life is held by him, that we reject him. He came to his very own people. He came there to the Jewish people. They didn't receive him. He was rejected of men. Isaiah 53 said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That was prophesied, that's what it was going to be. He was rejected of men. Well, we recognize that's a temporary condition. He's not going to be rejected someday when it's too late, someday when all men have to stand before him. We know from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then it'll be too late for the salvation of their soul. But every man will declare, because he is the Creator. Whether we look, and as we celebrate the birth of Christ, whether we recognize his deity, or whether we accept it, and whether we see that one that came to die for us and recognize the whole purpose of Christ and his coming and now give ourselves over to him, whether we do now or not, that doesn't change who he is. That doesn't change. It only changes, what changes is changes what he's offered to us in our eternal salvation. And that's where it says in verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has provided through Jesus Christ our salvation. It's all of him. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves. We cannot earn it in any way. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Though we live in a dark world, and though he has been rejected by the masses, yet those who will receive him receive that gift of eternal life, not just the physical life that they have. So we see that babe in the manger, the Son of God, the source of all life and light, will be rejected by men. We look in amazement as we look in on the pain. How could it be that men would treat him so? Yet how are you treating him? Remember, his day is coming. Accept him now. Receive him. You can be a child of God. You can be born of God. That's the message we have to take forth from this auditorium this morning. The message we have to take to the world. Not just a baby in a manger that lived a good life as an example. But no, we have the Word that became flesh. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. And that's, we look at that, we see our eternal God. We see the Almighty, our Almighty God. And we say, we look at the babe in the manger and we see that is because we have the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-existing one, the one who has eternally existed, took on human flesh. He became there. He came as a man. He came that he might do something that you and I can't do, and that is to live that perfect life. He came and he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sins. As was sung to us this morning, he came to die. He came to make that sacrifice for us. So the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus, it says, we beheld his glory. And, John just got glimpses of the glory of God. As Christ was here and he revealed the person of God, as he revealed the Father. When he says, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He says, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Galatians says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The angel said to Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Philippians 2 talks about that. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The wonder of the cross, the wonder of one who came to die. We look in the manger and we just see the beginning of a marvelous story. We see the beginning of the, not the beginning of a story, because it began way back before the foundation of the world, the love of our God. But when we come to the babe in the manger, we come to the incarnation. We come to when it actually takes place. We come to when God took on human flesh to live here as a man. We beheld his glory, the glory of grace and truth, the giving, how our God has given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave. The grace of our God, the grace of our God. We see an outpouring of grace, that is hard to imagine. Yes, this babe in the manger, God come in the flesh, God become man, is not grasping for or holding on to his exalted position in heaven, but has taken off the robes of glory, descending from the ivory palaces, descending into the world of wicked men, coming to pay the debt that has overwhelmed man from the time of his original sin. How can it be? We sing the song, how can it be, oh, how can it be that God should love a soul like me? Many of you have accepted his invitation to come to him. You joy and rejoice because of that salvation you have in him. The most glorious verse in this section for man is, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have a message to take forth from here, a message to take forth that you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just sing a Christmas carol. Don't just talk of a babe in a manger, but talk of who he is and what he did and what his life was, and it was for you. And you receive him. You turn from your sin unto him, or you will remain in darkness and be like the world around you. May the Lord cause us to rejoice in our God. Rejoice in the deity of Christ. Rejoice in the incarnation. Rejoice in the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord, for he did come to die. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, we thank you for your revelation of who you are. Lord, there's things that we've said today we can't quite comprehend how it could be. And yet, Lord, we know it's true. Lord, we live in a world that is rejecting the whole gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, that without him, they will be damned for all of eternity. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the light that sheds into the heart one that will come to Christ. Oh, Lord, how we pray that you might cause us to rejoice in the salvation we have in thee. And Lord, if there's those here this morning that without Christ, Lord, that recognize in their hearts they have not received you. Maybe they've said the words, but Lord, they know in their heart that they're far from thee. Help them, Lord, today to recognize who you are, to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, help us to take this message out in this week. Help us to go out rejoicing in our God and declaring the things of our God unto the men. And Lord, might you take that witness. May you take the precious word of God as it goes out by your people and bring men to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've chosen the hymn to